Arvin Lahn's story begins not with glory, but with grim humor in the trenches of the 41st millennium. A 17-year-old farm boy turned Imperial Guardsman, he signed up under the Emperor's banner, naively expecting a hero's welcome, not realizing that on the blasted battlefield of Brosharok, even a hero could expire mid-breath. In fact, a grizzled veteran once said the Imperial Guard was the Emperor's own eugenics program. The joke among the ranks was that a guardsman gets 15 hours of credit with the Emperor, and after that he's on his own. For Arvin, this wasn't just talk. The official lore warns that fresh conscripts like him were as expendable as cannon fodder on a gargantuan scale. He learned quickly that in the Imperium, even hope is soaked in diesel and served with a side of gunmetal reality. It's a line drilled into every guardsman's head. Expect to die fast. In the barracks of Cadia, they even say, "When your boots are shiny, your grave is already dug." Arvin had initially laughed at such sayings, but they became terrifyingly real out here. The official records for the 902nd were blunt. Fresh recruits at the front have an average life expectancy of 15 hours. Any idealism was soon crushed in the grind of endless war. In the far future, there is only war. And on Brosharok, that war danced around new soldiers like vultures. Before Brosharok, Arvin was a farm kid on Jumel 4, but once he enlisted, he underwent the same brutal training as any Cadian conscript. Cadia was a fortress world where even children strip and fire laser guns before learning to write, and 4 grueling months of training beat every last bit of naivete out of him. He marched in waist-deep mud, spent dawn to dusk on firing ranges, and learned to recite the creed while buried up to his shoulders. Sergeant Ferres, a giant of a man, barked that the guard is a deadly environment and meant every word. By the end of it, Arvin could clean and maintain a laser gun with his eyes closed, but no obstacle course or marksmanship drill could truly prepare him for the terror awaiting on Brosharok. After training, Arvin and his squad were herded aboard troop transports for 7 weeks of cramped, miserable space travel. Days blurred in the metal coffin of the ship. Recycled air, cold food cubes, and endless waiting. Troopers joked that the hardest enemy was boredom, telling off-color comic verses to stay awake during equipment checks. By the time they reached Brosharok, any hope of glory had been ground down. Arvin's uniform was stale with grime and sleep deprivation, but at least he had come alive off that ship, for better or worse. When the drop pods pierced the atmosphere, Arvin's heart thudded in his chest. The sky above was a sickly green-red, a faint omen of the battles below. He tumbled out into chaos. Next to him, an orc shooter exploded against a building, sending shards flying. His first sight of the enemy was unforgettable. Hulking green orcs in mismatched scrap iron plate, roaring with brutal glee. One crash of heavy boots later, and Arvin was scrambling for cover in a crater. He fell on one knee, fumbling to raise his laser gun, as the world around him turned into fire and thunder. Tracers cut the dusk, war horns blared in the distance. The orchestration of battle had begun, and Arvin realized this was very different from anything basic training had warned. Miraculously, Arvin survived the initial onslaught. At first light, he was the only man of his squad still breathing. Every bone in his body ached, every nerve screamed, but he was alive. He was quickly rounded up by a ragtag group of surviving guardsmen, weary veterans and new rookies from other units. They introduced themselves tersely, calling each other by first name only. Sergeant Kuros, a battle-hardened Cadian missing half his face, growled, "Lahn, watch yourself out there!" Arvin learned that the 902nd Varden Rifles had been written off by High Command as nearly lost. They were the lone surviving regiment defending the planet's Prometheum from the Orc Wa. The 722nd and 831st regiments had already been wiped out entirely. There was no ceremony or welcome party. Only cold orders. "Grab spare ammo, plug in here," someone said. In minutes, Arvin was in a Cadian greatcoat, patched onto a Vardon tabard, thrust into the firing line. His squad was folded into the remnants of the 902nd, a grim promotion to frontline duties. In the trenches of Brasherock, reality struck Arvin like a stray shell. Day and night, the sky overhead was a sickly orange haze of smoke and flame. Trenches ran in muddy, winding lines around the bombed-out ruins. Arvin shared a narrow foxhole with five other men. There was barely space to swing a laser gun. Each dawn began with a tense silence and ended with another barrage. Arvin spent his days swapping rounds and cleaning sand out of every crevice. Each night, he double-checked ammo belts for a half hour. The ground was saturated with promethium runoff. It smelled like fuel, death, and despair mixed together. As he looked around, he saw sandbags patched with whatever cloth was available, and soldiers scribbling quick messages to loved ones in the wet mud, praying they'd survive long enough to send them. He found brief comfort in small rituals, tightening his boots, strapping on a spare magazine, even whispering a prayer to the God Emperor each sunset. Each morning was an exercise in quiet desperation. Arvin and the other troopers joked that surviving was like skipping breakfast before a gauntlet, nearly impossible. Officially, they went through routine, taking watch shifts, checking flak vests and grenades, trading news from home. But in truth, it was just endurance practice. The cold records bore it out. A typical recruit's life expectancy among frontline units at Brasherock was 15 hours. That was written in terse notes by the regimental clerks. If you lasted past that, the only reward was a beat-up bayonet and someone else's respect. Every hour alive was a little victory against fate. Dangers lurked everywhere. Even the smallest orcoid could end a guardsman's life. Gretchen snipers, cowardly goblins in ragged armor, lurked in the ruins, picking off men one by one. Arvin learned to duck at every twitch of movement in the rocks. A wise corporal once warned him, "Don't shoot at anything smaller than your boot out there." Above them, the sky was a battlefront itself. Orc rockets screamed through the orange clouds. Once, a thunderous shell slammed into a sapper hole next to Arvin, filling the trench with wooden splinters. He only escaped by going prone. Every few minutes, another shell erupted nearby, sending mud everywhere. Each salvo was a reminder. Above ground, you were just another target. Then came the crescendo, the largest orc assault yet. In the dead of night, the orcs unleashed every war cry they had, storming the trenches like an absolute tide. Hundreds of them poured over the berm, illuminated by muzzle flashes and burning promethium bombs. Arvin's squad emptied their laser guns into the assaulting wave. Blue beams scythed through green flesh, but wave after wave kept coming. In a blur of heat and noise, he saw orc knobs leading the charge, axes swinging. The sky was lit by flares and tracer storms. It was the nightmare the veterans had warned about. Arvin squeezed off one last shot as a grenade whistled past his ear, then scrambled back under the parapet, trembling. Somehow he survived. Through it all, guardsmen clung to grim humor like a flak vest around a frag grenade. Arvin found bitter jokes creeping up in the mud. The ration loaf, half burned on the embers, often earned more whispered thanks than a priest's sermon. One soldier insisted that if you read the Emperor's name on the ration wrapper backwards, he'd probably spare you that day. Even Sergeant Ferris cracked a crooked grin after a near miss. "Our flak's bulletproof, except on Tuesdays," he muttered. Each of those twisted quips was a tiny rebellion against fear. For a moment, they were not soldiers, but laughing fools. Those brief laughs helped them stay human. Sometimes Arvin caught himself whispering to the only company he had left, his own fear. In the midnight quiet, he would mutter, "Steady now, kid," or make silent bargains with fate. He'd fingers down his bayonet sheath, asking it to hold another sliver of hope. When no one was watching, he patted the faded badge on his chest and reminded himself of home, wheat fields, midday sun, his mother's kitchen. That was childish thinking, but it kept him breathing. He finally admitted it. In the Guard, there's no medal for staying alive, only for how stylishly you die, and he aimed to do at least that well. In the heat of battle, Arvin fought on pure instinct. He'd never seen anything like orcs, massive green-skinned brutes, armor crudely welded from scrap, and huge cleavers, chop us, swinging under gleeful snarls. They fought with reckless abandon, no cowardice, no mercy. Arvin fired round after round of his laser gun, each orange beam puncturing the night. The recoil jolted him back again and again. Once he hit the ground as shells rained down, then spun up to help reload a mate's weapon. Every pull of the trigger felt heavy, as if the gun's kicking weight was the weight of his entire life. Last fire lit faces red and green. For every orc down, two more took its place. His helmet fogged with sweat, but Arvin never lowered his sights. Casualties became so routine, he almost stopped counting. The air was thick with the stench of burned cordite and sweat. Arvin would dive into any hole he found as soon as bullets whined by. His comrades, faces smeared with grime, ran out of cover only to join the fallen. There was no time to mourn. Each time a squad mate fell, another took his place. Medics made a point to patch anyone still grinning through the pain. A flicker of life was sacred. Once he watched a friend get dragged off by stretcher, the survivor barely groaned as they carried him away. Arvin learned to keep his eyes on the target, not on the dead. Each person lost was a reminder. This trench had many bodies, and soon it would have another. Arvin's gear was painfully basic. His helmet was a plain stamped steel dome with chipped red paint. Nothing fancy. Over his chest he wore an old flak vest, layers of thin metal plates and hardened fabric patched together. It could stop a thrown stone, but not much more. In his hands he held the standard issue laser gun, a rugged M36 pattern rifle so common it was practically bulletproof. He carried a bayonet on its stock and a few grenades in his pockets, hoping to surprise an orc in close combat. In this fight, the uniform was his only shelter, a threadbare greatcoat over a ballistic cloth vest, and even that was mostly slivers of metal. He trusted it like a prayer, but every scrape on it still sent a chill through his spine. The orcs were a breed apart. Arvin had been told they live for war and know no fear, and he saw it in the charging mobs. They fought with triumphant roars, utterly undisciplined but unstoppable in their brutality. There was no parley or hesitation. Either they cleaved you in two, or you shot them first. The Orcoid society was built on blood. Every orc believed it was born to fight the next battle, Dao, and be reborn on another. Against such a foe, Arvin and his brothers-in-arms could only hold a thin line of sand and hope the Emperor cared. Every time an orc fell, another took its place immediately. They seemed endless, and every sight of an orc's green face was like looking into madness itself. Sometimes, in the brief calm between barrages, Arvin let his mind wander. He pictured home, the sunrise over Jumael's golden fields, the smell of fresh plowed earth, even his mother's cozy kitchen. None of that belonged here. In the cold half-light, he thought of Cadia's creed, loyalty until death, and he wondered where the Emperor was now. Cadia might have stood forever, but that fortress had fallen years ago, and here they were just scrubbing ruins. Still, he clung to one thought. Every second he stayed alive was a small victory. With each breath, he was writing his own story in defiance of the odds. One particular dawn stuck in his mind. Arvin had been awake all through the night's heaviest barrages, trying not to think of the bodies piling up. When the first pale light crept over the broken skyline, he realized with a shock he had survived the night. He actually outlasted those 15 damn hours. For one unguarded moment, a goofy grin spread on his face. He might have even saluted the orange sky, as if the Emperor himself had blinked at the news. He mouthed to himself, "Made it." But that euphoria shattered instantly as a sudden searing pain tore through his side. He collapsed back into the trench, and the sunrise dripped slowly into the earth around him, mingling with his own blood. Lying on the scarred ground with daylight pouring over him, Arvin felt the last warmth in his body start to cool. He realized something raw. Outlasting the 15-hour mark had given him only one thing: more moments to die. Yet, at the same time, there was a strange peace in it. He had proven himself, however briefly, to be one of those legendary few who beat the odds. He would not see tomorrow, but for now he had seen another dawn. With his final breath, Arvin Lawn mustered a wry smile. He had played the Emperor's game and earned those extra minutes. In that fleeting second, he did not fear death. He wondered who would tell his story, and he closed his eyes quietly as artillery boomed in the distance. In the end, Arvin Lawn's story became just another whisper among guardsmen, a grim tally in a data log. He had everything. Youthful hope, brutal reality, and one last dark joke. They would tell future recruits, if Larn could make it 15 hours, maybe you can too, but don't bet on it. His name might appear on some dusty roster, or perhaps a chaplain would recite his small contribution with a sigh. Beyond that, he was just one of countless souls consumed by endless war. But for the lucky few who heard his tale, he would be a reminder. Even in a universe that devours you, sometimes you get one more sunrise. If you made it through this grim tale, like and subscribe to Tales from the Void for more dark Warhammer lore. Glory to the Emperor, and remember, in the Void there are no second chances, only more stories waiting to be told.